Welcome to the Ross Chapman Audio Experience.
Hi everyone. Today on today's episode, I've brought in Andre. Andre is the CEO and founder of Graphy, which is a new data visualization app. And I invited Andre on because I wanted to, first of all, have a conversation with him at quite an early stage of his startup development. But also, Andre's doing some really interesting things in terms of bringing a lot of sense and a lot of understanding to data in a visual way that will help other startup founders and business owners grapple their data and do something with it. So, Andre, thank you so much for making the time to chat with me today.
Thanks for having me, Ross. Excited to be here.
Awesome. So for this audience, and I'm moving them more in a no-code direction, could you give us a sense of, you know, what you're all about and how you came to start Graphy?
We were helping startups to analyze and make sense of their data. And you know, the tools which are available today in the market are so difficult to use. And some of them are more accessible if you're a technical user, so you can go ahead, write some SQL or some query, some data and so on, but it's even difficult for them. But when it comes to users like myself, for example, in this case, they're highly inaccessible to me. So we're building a new way for startups and small companies to analyze this data, to make sense of this data, to get to know their customers better, to understand what's working in the product and whatnot. And that's what Graphy is about, that basically.
How did this idea start? You know, you told me earlier that you moved to Scotland and you kind of started out. Like, how did the first bud of the idea of Graphy come about?
Yeah, so been building for quite a while now. So went through multiple iterations, we tried different directions and so on. But it all started with my co-founder and I, who've been friends from a childhood, we've known each other for ages basically. And we wanted to build something awesome, you know, we wanted to do something while we're studying at university. And the first kind of project was to look at, we're very fascinated back then by the charts and visualization in the New York Times, in the Guardian, and in our publications. And we thought, how can we bring this to businesses? How can we help them get this clarity and help everyone be informed and inform their stakeholders, clients, present this data at the conferences and other places? And we started with this consultancy where we did a few very custom projects for some companies and worked with many of them. And by doing that, we understood that everyone is kind of facing the exact same problem, but working with data is really, really hard. So after that, we started working on Graphy, wanted to solve this problem and helping companies like ourselves to get started with intuitive tools to work with this data. So as I said, we went through few iterations. We started with a very generic database tool. Then we looked a little bit at reporting. Then we looked at agencies and so on. But still the biggest need for a tool like Graphy and the biggest pull from the market was from startups, companies similar to us, who are just starting out or just have a team, but we're struggling to understand what's going on, what's happening. We're struggling to just, even know if we're on track or not. So this is where we're coming in to help them with that.
Yeah, and I've looked at the app, obviously, and the benefits that I can see are you're removing a lot of the busy work of bringing data sets together, putting it in, you know, this still happens to this day, bringing it into something like a PowerPoint, then having to present it to your small or large team and provide that information around what the charts and what the graphs mean. And Graphy is just a better way of doing that. You can absolutely bring in your data sets and visualize the data, but you also have that ability to explain what the data means and those kind of insights and potential recommendations on that data. So how have customers come to the product and how are they kind of giving you reviews on what they're doing with Graphy so far? Because from my point of view, I think that every business owner needs good data to make decisions, But when you start scaling with a team, you need to share that data and those decisions with the team. So are you finding this with the customers that you have so far?
Yeah, I mean, we do, and at Graph, you have a massive vision to give everyone data superpowers, and I envisage one day, a few years from now, 3, 5, 10, but everyone will be using Graphit to solve their data needs, essentially. Yeah. As I was saying earlier, that what we found being the most helpful for us, like finding this niche for us and really focusing on one segment and nailing this, these are startups, essentially. And by the way, Ross, keep an eye on our Twitter account, because in a few weeks we're announcing a few big things which are coming out quite soon, and this will include things like going beyond that, like explaining what these metrics mean and telling you if what you're having is good or bad. So a few very exciting things, which don't talk a lot about that now, are coming just in a few weeks, so keep an eye on these changes as well. But the whole goal with this is just, how can we simplify the life of these startups as much as we can, you know? How can we make it easy to them, intuitive, and how can we position actually graphing their tool stack as, I don't know, the next Airtable or a familiar tool they're using and loving? And we want to do the same for them in helping them to analyze and understand their data to these companies, basically.
More product updates. Look forward to reading that on Twitter coming soon.
Big ones. So yeah, we've been busy building them the past few months.
And, you know, you explained where the idea came from and how you got started. Your background's very much in marketing. So how did you start growing the team? And you told me that you recently went on an offsite in Poland with the team as it is now. How did you start, you know, bringing in those expertise and starting to not just create a product, but create a company as well?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just say this, it's not easy, and lots of learnings were involved. Maybe you'll do another podcast at some point, so I'll tell you about all the mistakes we made early in the day and everything but at the same time, we got so many things right. And actually, the team for me, it's something I'm so proud of what we achieved, what we built, culture we have, and how we're working together. But it took us time to get there. It took us time to, I feel like what was easier for us is to attracting people based on our mission. I feel like the pain point that we're solving, it's so big that everyone who is joining Graph would say like, hey, I faced something similar at my previous job, or I know this problem. So the excitement was there. But then we also started building a remote first company from day one. Yeah. And I'll just say this, like, I love remote and would never probably go back to being an office based and so on. But probably remote is more difficult and requires more effort than I thought initially. So we had to solve early on like lots of these challenges, like how to make sure the team is not isolated, or how to make sure we have these meaningful connections within this company to be able to build. Because I mean, I love what Scott Bielski wrote in his book, The Messy Middle, is that the successful startups are the ones who stick the longest together, basically. So the job is like to figure out how this is happening. And you know, startups again are all about ups and downs and everything else in between. So just figuring out this, I guess it takes time, especially for the first time founders who are building the team for the first time. But also what was helpful is building this like network of people who've done this in the past. So you can go to them and say like, oh yeah, I saw this in my first startup like 5 years ago, so this is what I did and so on. So it's very helpful to be learning all the time as you scale. And Ross, what I used to tell founders I know in the past is that as a founder, you'll have like lots of good instincts on how to, I don't know, build products, or maybe how to design something and so on. But like managing and growing the team, it's something you actually need to experience and learn. It's you're not born with this, you know. You just need to go through this process in making some of the mistakes and understanding how to improve things in the future. So yeah, definitely not an easy thing, but I mean, still learning, still figuring out things.
You know, part of the reason that I love these conversations is not a lot of people talk about those early stages of startup growth and how to grow the team and how to work out who you need next and then the early stages of doing those company retreats and kind of building culture. And that's what I find so valuable about these conversations. How did you experience that as you first set about bringing together people and growing a solid team?
After COVID, first time we did it was in May, and the offsite was extremely well organized. You know, we had agendas for every single day, by hour, what we do and so on. And don't get me wrong, I enjoyed it so much and got so much out of it. And we did these bonding activities and exercises and all of this, which I loved. It was so, so good. But this time, which was 2 weeks ago, and we flew to Warsaw with a team, we did it differently. We said, like, you know what, we have this big deadline at the moment. We just need to gather together, align, work together, the same in the office, and let's not have an agenda at all. Like, it was very experiment, like, you know, it would just say, like, we'll fly there, we'll get an office for us, like, let's see organically how all of this will happen. And, you know, we're flying there, and, like, we know the team, we know that we work well together, and we're sure that it will be a success, but still, it's, you don't know what's going to happen because you haven't done it this way before. But I just want to say, enjoyed it so much, all these organic interactions and people working together and going for walks together and just exchanging thoughts. I also saw a big value for that. So you asked me about what would I recommend. I would say, I don't know what to recommend. I'm saying, treat this as your product, like, iterate on this. Don't be afraid to experiment and see how it goes. And I'm just glad that we were together in the same place and we did it the way we did. And I'd say, like, we had so many takeaways after this. We managed to work well together, and I just, again, I felt so much energy coming into the next week after this offside. So just, yeah, it's same as your story. It's about experimenting, learning, and yeah, improving every single time. So
I think that difference between, yes, this is a retreat, and, you know, lean into that because you're working really hard for the rest of the time.
Yes.
I think it does share that kind of unspoken message to the team that, yes, we are looking after you. We are providing you a great experience as a, not just as a reward, but also a motivation of, you know, if we get through the next quarter, we'll have an even better retreat than this. So, I find retreats interesting. And if I ever had any spare time, I'd probably, you know, spin up a retreat company just because there's a bit of a science around it. But, it's great to have a business of having great fun. And yeah. I think that's something that we can all bring into our startups and businesses, isn't it?
Ross, if I can add one more thought to this, is once you're describing, I was just reflecting again on what happened in at our offsites or the trees, but I think it's also like about the finding the right time and moment for that. You know, like, if it shouldn't be probably always just about celebration or just bonding or just working. It's all about where is our business at the moment, what do we need the most, and so on. So that's why if you feel like your company was quite disconnected for a while and people didn't interact as much as you would like them to, maybe it's a good idea to bring them on a retreat for bonding, as you said, get a yoga instructor or something and make sure, like, people are spending as much time as possible. Yeah, but maybe if you're preparing for a big launch or something like this, you just get everyone in, get some food, get some drinks, and just work together, you know, and just build stuff and get some people who don't work that much together, like, into the same room and see the magic happening. Yeah, but as well, on other occasions, we just go together and celebrate with a big milestone, a new milestone of ARR or customers you closed or fundraising or whatever this is. It's a place for this as well. So I don't think there is a magic formula to do offsite retreats this way or another way. It all depends on your business, culture, timing, what do you value the most, and so on.
How many people do you have at the moment, and how did you know which roles to add to the team as you develop Graphy?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are 14 people in the company today. So we have a compact team, moving extremely fast, and I mean, we had this philosophy earlier in the day, my co-founder Broman and I, is that we're gonna hire people and we need them for 120%, if you know what I mean. So we're gonna do the job ourselves, learn more about the job itself, I mean, the jobs to be done, the everything else, and then we'll hire this person, essentially. So, I would say, but it's still about like learning basically at the moment. So I know that at some point we'll be able to make this 12 months plans of who we need to hire and so on, but now we're like mostly looking at 3 to 6 months ahead to synthesize all the learnings we've got and then sit down with my leadership team in like understanding what needs to be done next, where what hire should we make and so on. So it's like building product. It's this you iterate all the time and you learn and you make these calls as you go basically. So yeah.
Yeah, and with those 14 people you met up recently in Poland.
Yeah.
What did that week look like? Was it more team building activities? Was it this is our longer term vision? Like, what do you do on a offsite with 14 people at a high tech growth startup?
Yeah, I mean, we had 3 offsites in total. But actually, I'll tell you a funny thing. When we used to advertise our jobs in the past, we're saying retreats every single 3 to 4 months or something like this. But then COVID happened and the team is quite distributed across Europe, so we couldn't do anything basically. So we had our first offsite actually in Edinburgh, was in May. So this offsite was like all about, you know, meeting up together, talking about our goals, reflecting on what we've achieved and so on. This offsite was slightly different. As I told you, we're preparing some big things to go live quite soon. So met together with everyone to do some working, some bonding, discussing our plans, talking about concerns as well, and just having a good time, experiencing Warsaw and eating good food and just spending good time together. So that was 2 weeks ago, and I think it was a big success, and you could feel the energy coming into Monday and the following week, and how it helped, seriously. Like, if anyone who's listening is running a remote company, highly recommend doing offsites and meeting together with team. It really helps.
It makes total sense, especially at your size, and I'm sure it gives you a lot of pleasure seeing the team together and being able to interact. It must be a great time. Did you get out to, you know, any nonsense or activities or, you know, anything after dark?
Of course. Karaoke, that's a big thing. Like, we did that, and yeah, no, we had an amazing time, and was just good to see everyone sitting in the same room and having dinners together and getting to know people. I would say like more on the personal level as well, and like see how they are when they sit next to you and things you chat about. And I mean, we do this, but it's different when it happens over Zoom versus when you meet with them in person.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear. The team that I'm working with at the moment, we work remotely, but we spend time just 30 minutes every Tuesday and Thursday to come together, and it doesn't help with the project productivity. It helps with, I think, the team getting to know each other and knowing that they're not just working at a computer all day. There are humans around them working with them, and I think that's super important. So I'm working with a designer in South Africa at the moment in Cape Town, and I'm onboarding another one soon. And very much like you said, I'm iterating as I'm understanding my customer, understanding my offer, and you know, you just iterate and provide something that customers want, which on day one, you know, can totally pivot. And that leads me to an question I have for you. Did the initial vision of Graphy change over time? Did you have this like small feature that actually exploded because you kind of worked on it, or you got customer feedback? You know, have there been any key learnings in data visualization and bringing a product to market as from day one to now that you've found?
One of the things that we did different is like thinking too big early on, I would say. Like, we're thinking about this whole horizontal market and how can we serve everyone with their charts and all of this. But just looking back in time, I don't think that was the best decision. And what we have now is like a full focus. Instead of saying like, it's for everyone, you can just come in and perform your data tasks you have. Now we're saying like, it's all about this specific type of company, startups in this case. Yeah, we know that it's difficult for them to analyze this data, make sense of this data essentially. So we're saying like, how do we, our first step, how do we build this product today, which is the best at doing just this, you know, it's just the best at helping them to onboard them quickly, understand who they are, suggest the best templates for them, best insights for them, and make them like make sense of this, you know, and then share this with their team or with the world. And when you put it this way, it suddenly becomes way more achievable, you know, like you now know the exact journey and you know how to get there. And what I mean by this is that the vision is still here. The vision is still very much to build this, the only one data product you need, you know, like one day where you perform all your data tasks. But starting from there and just thinking so big at the beginning wasn't doing us a big favor, because as a result, I guess we built the product and we had so many cool features on the product, but when it's not that focused, these features are liked by many users, but not loved by enough users, if you know what I mean. So we're just like switching these gears and focusing more on this value you can create for customers and what they need out of this product and how this first step looks like was a pivotal moment for us, was such an important insight. And for me as well, as a founder, like I'm very visionary, you know, like I see this ideal world where Grafy exists and how it serves the customers and so on. But I guess it's one advice I've got is that you need to start from a place where you're so uncomfortable about, because it's so small and so on, but it's working out because you can scale it from there, you can learn, and you can keep this momentum in growing this company and building something awesome to delight your customers.
Yeah, 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 it makes total sense. Yeah, the whole point about growth and doing something new is that you haven't done it before, so it's uncomfortable. And I think it's that determination to keep on showing up, keep on working with the team, keep on getting feedback from customers, and just having that grit and determination to keep going. And I'm sure in the early days that was tougher than it is today. I feel like you've got some market validation, and you've got a team, and you're going to be sharing some upcoming feature updates, which sounds incredibly exciting. But the core needs of this tool is just so prime. There are still people that will take data and put it into a format that is not interactive, and then have to talk around it for 2 hours in everyone's day. And it just doesn't feel like that should be the way that we use data and do something with it. So I'm really keen to see what you're coming out with. And the product as it stands is incredibly useful for startup owners, publishers, agencies who need this kind of data. So what, other than new product updates, what are the kind of next steps as you develop this product, but also kind of build the team? Will you need, you know, after this set of feature updates, will you need more in customer support, or will you need to double up on more developer effort, or, you know, how do you see the next few months looking for Grafy?
Yeah, so we'll be launching this, like doing a quick soft launch quite soon with some exciting features which will go live, and just again the messaging will change. Keep an eye, our website will change as well quite soon, so this is so exciting for that. And also, like what we're very, very keen to do as well is just to double down on this community of people who are all resonating with the same problem, and they're all like solving them in Grafy essentially. So it's been a big thing for us for some time now, and I'm so happy that we're finally getting there to start executing and doubling down on this as well. And about team as well is we have a very healthy runway, lots of cash in our bank account as well, to be able to execute on what we want to get. But I know it will maybe quite soon, maybe I don't want to give any dates on this, but I see us also at some point after we get after this milestone and get enough validation and so on, start doubling down more on few internal roles to help us speed the community itself and the development of a product and so on. But to this more, I mean, just in a few months, the whole focus right now is not to think much about that, but to be heads down and nail and solve this problem in the most in the best way, basically, for these customers, and then we'll get back about thinking what's next. But so far, super happy with the team size we have on board, with every single individual who joined us. It feels like really that everyone is so motivated by this mission, by this vision, and I can feel the energy, basically. So yeah.
Yeah, I can feel it too. what would you give? What advice would you give to future tech entrepreneurs? Anyone with an idea, or even a kind of intrapreneur in an enterprise company that has an idea, wants to get started. What tips and advice would you give to anyone wanting to start out like you did?
I don't know how qualified I am to give that much advice, but let me try. You know, let me try and. Just from my experience as well is I think the first most obvious thing, like, just go and do it. Seriously, it's if you're passionate about this and you don't care if it's going to work or not, you just want to build this, like, nothing is stopping you. And we've been chatting with you, Ross, about this just earlier. There are so many no-code tools available and so on that you can just put together and build something. You don't need to validate something. You don't need massive teams at the moment or a lot of funding and so on. Like, building startups today, it's way more accessible than it used to be even 5 years ago, you know, when these tools weren't around to build. So just the first thing, like, just go and do it. And second one is I feel like it's think about what you want as well, because your passion and what you want will be reflected in the culture, team, and everything else. And why I'm saying this, because there are many ways to do that, is I know, like, many successful founders who bootstrap their businesses, and this is awesome, basically, yeah? Or you might get to the venture path, like we did, for example. It's just all basically is I don't know, it's just changing how you think about things and ambition somehow and pressure as well. So just saying, like, it's just be honest with yourself and don't do something which is trendy or what your friend told you, but, like, go and really dig into this and understand what's right for you. I feel like that's important. And last but not least is don't forget to have fun, because building a startup is going to take 3, 5, 7, 10 years of your life, and you're going to do this, I don't know, 10, 12 hours per day, Monday to Saturday, or even Sunday, basically. And if you can't enjoy while building this and you can't find time to have this fun while building this, you'll probably regret this later or you won't enjoy it as much. So again, just don't forget to have fun while you're doing that.
Yeah, because if you're not having fun, you'll probably find it easier to give up or do something else, you know, right? So, yeah, exactly. Enjoying the journey, definitely.
Exactly.
So thank you, Andre. For everyone, go check out graphy.app. Check out Graphy's Twitter account that's going to be sharing some of the juicy product updates coming soon. And Andre, from me, thank you so much for finding time to just chat about your early growth, your kind of new products coming out, but also how you've been able to build a team that is going to be building an awesome product. So thank you from me, and really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot for having me, Ross, and really enjoyed this chat.